cracking you up at the crack of dawn. It's Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
Victoria Falconer is an incredible singer and multi-instrumentalist based between London and Adelaide. She was nominated for a Green Room Award for Music Direction, one of Australia's most prestigious performance awards, and is part of the much-loved Fringe Wives Club, here to celebrate Bi Pride Day with us. This is where we're putting bi peeps front and centre, and we're celebrating them. So much talent to share. Please welcome to the show, Victoria.
Good morning.
Hello. How you doing?
Very well. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us on such an important day. But I guess straight up, what does Bi Pride Day mean to you, Victoria?
It means exactly as Annie said, being front and center, like reminding everybody that we are here, that bi people have always been here, that, you know, we are a massive percentage of the queer spectrum. I guess our presence can be overlooked or erased depending on how queer or not queer or how straight or not straight or how pretty much anything we present. Yeah. It is just being loud, proud and out there, really.
Did you have to do some reading yourself, like, back in the day? Because you're so well-versed in this now. I love the posts that you share around this topic. But, you know, was it always the case?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I did definitely realise that I was bisexual from a young age, which was a surprise growing up in Gippsland. It was fun. it's a time. I knew that I was attracted to all genders as well as my own.
Yeah.
And even then, when you get out of the country and you end up in a city and you're looking for your place within queer scenes, still bisexuality at that point, early 2000s, people thought that I was too femme to be there, or if I happened to be dating somebody that identified as a man, it was seen as, I guess, dirtying up my queerness. Oh. And it's the same story. Same story. I swear every bi person or pan person that I know has gone through this, which is why these days and Bi Pride Month, it's actually a full month, is important, because there are so many of us out there that feel a little bit ostracized.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, because I can't agree with you more. And in what I call the rainbow, which is kind of my catch-all for all the letters that have grown over the years. You know, when I first started volunteering 20-odd years ago, I worked for a company called Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. There was no BTIQA+ or anything else sitting there.
Mm.
And often we see infighting within a minority or when the minorities get together. What's it like being in that rainbow sort of banner? And, you know, are there allies or...?
I think more so now. It's definitely been a massive shift, I think, over the last few years. I think the youth are bringing it up, you know. They're all just like, we just want to be with people. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's great. Who cares? Which is kind of what I think it should be like across the board anyway.
How much does that come through in your music, your views on sexuality?
Well, I never used to talk about it when I first started in cabaret, which seems insane. It's one of those things, and I think a lot of people that identify as queer or that come from a minority background or are a person of colour or otherwise any sort of like sort of intersecting identities, I think they feel like their art needs to reflect who they are, and it will by the fact of how that person presents. But I didn't feel like I wanted to talk about it that much. However, at the time, I was dressing as a half man, half woman, so I feel like it's not a subtle move. Even though I didn't talk about it explicitly, but the visual was right there. In recent years, I've really embraced talking about it. Exactly the same reason why I like sharing information about being bisexual and about visibility and about inclusivity and that kind of stuff, is because the more we talk about it, the more other people will feel empowered by it, whether they identify as bi or not.
Yeah, we are chatting to Victoria Falconer, who is a musician, and we're celebrating Bi Pride Day with her. And Ando has just discovered Fringe Wives Club, believe it or not.
So I have just discovered your song, Feminist F-Boy, by Fringe Wives Club. It is one of the most I'm going to give praise, and I feel like I'm one of the bloody misogynistic, privileged white men that you talk about. But it's all about that fake feminist wanker, is my word. Can you explain what's the song about? Can you explain what the song's about?
So, yes, when this wave of feminism that we're currently riding was really getting ahead, and it was in the wake of the Me Too movement, and people that identified as women everywhere were coming together and realizing that they didn't have to stand for this shit. In response to this, a rise in a certain type of man who would use feminism as a way to get laid. Again, it's like talking about things so that other women know that they're not alone. It's a toxic, kind of sad situation
for but them. So catchy for us, and that's what's important.
Yeah,
because everything you say in that song is so relatable.
You have to put politics in like a banger.
Yeah.
If it's done to a banger, then it's fine, you know? Like, it means that people will take notice and sing it and then realise that actually it relates to their own lives.
And I feel like you're always working on something. You are busy all the time doing some kind of cabaret business. What are you up to at the moment?
I mean, like everybody else, I kind of went into hibernation for a few months and then sort of started coming out the other side by looking real local. Brand new cabaret night. We've had one already in Adelaide and it's called Friday Feels. But yeah, just getting shows back out there. Even though we can't perform at capacity, it's just, you know, making it happen.
Thank you so much, Victoria. That's Victoria Falconer. Check her out all over the socials. Thank you so much for joining us
and
celebrating.
Happy Pride Day, month, week.
Yes, the whole lot.
Everyone buy out there. Woo. Virtual hugs from all of us, if you consent. If not, we won't hug you.
You have been listening to us, haven't you? Yes. It's all about consent, baby.
Up early? Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
Wonderful to chat with the talented Victoria Falconer, so cabaret artist, and here to celebrate Bi Day with us. And we are also going to be chatting with Tan from Plate of Origin very soon, around 6:30.
I need to talk about
Vietnam.
His tart.
Ooh.
The dessert. I think it was the dessert that let him down.
No, it sounded so good. The Vietnamese condensed coffee dessert
coffee
thing.
Coffee tart thingy. Love a tart. Hey, speaking of Bi Pride.
Speaking of tarts, I was like, that's not a nice way to intro this next guest.
I can't intro our next guest off the back of saying tart. Let's scrap that. Okay, only one of a couple of bisexual focus programs in the world and simply one of the best, according to me, and made right here at Joy. On the line right now, we have Alex from Triple Bypass. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Bi Pride.
How are you? Thank you so much. What an exciting day.
This is the first time I'm hearing your voice or being introduced to you. Tell me about yourself.
Hello. Well, I only started with Triple Bypass back in July. I did an interview with Amelia and Ruby earlier in the year for a few shows I was doing. They were like, hey, do you want to come and work with us? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've had an interesting few months learning the ropes and coming into a show during lockdown, but it has been so fun and I'm so excited to be part of the Joy family now.
Such a good show last night. So if anyone missed the show, your podcast normally land within a couple of days on joy.org.au/triple-bypass. Last night you caught up with the Victorian Lesbian Gay Archives.
Indeed. We had a chat with Nick Henderson, who is one of the volunteers who works at the Australian Lesbian Gay Archives, and had an amazing chat, not only about the archives themselves and the awesome things that are happening there in terms of their more recent developments, but also a really interesting chat about what he's discovered and what the archives have discovered about the bi community and the bi movement over the last few decades. It was really interesting just to chat archives and also to learn a little more about the community in Australia and more globally as well.
Yeah, I was listening and it was insane. It was great. So if anyone missed it, make sure you check it out. You also covered a story which, I just was doing Stare Bear or Listen Bear, the Bath rugby player in the UK that came out as bi.
Indeed, yeah. It was a pretty lengthy story, but one we felt really important to include. Every week we're always on the lookout for stories to chat about in terms of bi visibility, I think, because bi erasure has become such a huge thing, not only, you know, in the more extended community, but also within the queer community as well. So we always love to learn about those that are waving the bi flag or the bisexual plus flag, pan flag, very, very, very strongly. So that Bath rugby player has done a wonderful job of really talking about his experience and how he has integrated his sexuality into, I guess, an environment where bisexual people might have been a little bit scared of for a while, I would think.
Yeah, and that reminds me, because I've got some friends who are men who've come out as bi, and like this rugby player, I feel like it's, you know, really stigmatised. Do you have any, like, advice around that?
Listen, I think that every bi person has faced some of that stigmatism throughout their time. I definitely did, and constantly do now, I think. Although I think it's definitely we're in a better place with people accepting that bisexuality is actually a thing. Yeah. We covered a story a little while ago about a study that is now categorically proven that bisexual men do exist. And that's after a study that was released about 10 years ago that said that it wasn't a thing.
Oh,
so I think that there is a lot of conflicting information that has existed and some really damaging papers that have been written. But I think we're in a better place now for people kind of accepting that that's a thing. And the community is definitely growing both here in Melbourne and around the world and coming together very strongly. In fact, there's been a week-long conference that's been on at the moment called Stand By Us, which is coming to an end in the next few days, but there are still some free events available. So if you want to jump on Stand By Us, that's standbius.com, there are still a few free events you can register, including a dinner this evening if you're interested.
A virtual dinner? Like, do you log on via Zoom?
A virtual dinner. Bring your own food.
Have you got a date? Are you looking for a date?
I don't.
Can we both be your date?
Why not? It's bi. It's representative. You get Annie Louie and you get Ando.
That's Alex from...
I'm a very proud pansexual man, so please.
That'd be cool. Hey, speaking of, today is the culmination of a week of awareness and erasing erasure around bisexuality. Plus, what are you doing today to celebrate other than the dinner?
I think today will be a day of staying connected with a lot of people, reaching out, having a chat. The team at Triple Bypass does a lot for engaging with the community, and we've got an amazing community building in Melbourne online. So it's been really cool to get to know all of those folks who are coming out of the woodwork. And even in the last few days, there's been a whole lot of folks who've shared their coming out stories that have happened really recently. So just engaging with that community for me today is going to be very important. I won't be able to go out there and party in the streets, but I will be wearing my bi flag colours.
Maybe for 1 hour. Or two? Is it 2 hours?
You can
do it. Yeah, do a few laps with the flag on.
Yeah, I've got a median strip outside my house, so maybe I'll just lie out there on a picnic rug and preach the bi gospel.
Beautiful. Hey, Alex, you and the Triple Bypass team do such a beautiful job. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning. Happy Bi Pride Day. If anyone wants to catch Triple Bypass, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m, Joy or via the Joy app.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. It's Addy and Ando every morning on Joy.
It's 24 minutes past 6, 11 degrees with a forecast top of 15 for Melbourne. Annie Louie, it is Bi Pride, Bi
Celebration
Day.
Sure is. We've already had two absolute guns.
Guns, stunners, stunners.
Yeah.
Stunners.
Stunners.
Hey, one of the things that a lot of people ask at times, and when I say a lot of people get confused about is what's the difference between bisexual, pansexual, omnisexual?
I've never heard omnisexual, but I was going to ask you about the first two because the words were used in our interview with Victoria, and I would like to know because I know pansexual, they say they're attracted to everyone.
Everyone.
So not everyone. Well, you've got to have some, you know, they've got some distinctions of what they like.
I'm happy to own my opinions, but I also want to do a disclaimer on this one, Louie, because labels can be helpful to help people understand, but they also can be really damaging and misconstrued and cause conflict, particularly within minority groups. You said you were bi, and that's not what a proper bi. What the frig is a proper bi? Who cares? Like, that's the perspective or the preface that I say up front. But from my understanding, bisexual, the term in a traditional sense, bi means two. Like a bicycle, not a unicycle. A bicycle has two wheels. So bisexuality is attracted to two genders.
Yes. Okay. But I think the latest thinking is that those people are more progressive than just the two genders.
Yeah. So this is the other confusing point, or the intersection that people sometimes confuse gender with sexuality. They're different.
Yes.
And they're not binaries. And so this is where the whole thing of, you know, cisgendered male, you know, birth assigned male at cisgendered, and then that might be a gender, but then what is the attraction? Well, for me, it's gay, but then what does that mean?
Yeah.
And it's a scale. I sometimes find myself really attracted to women.
Oh my god. There you go. Well, I've always said to my previous partners that I don't feel 100% straight. Like if I was, I would say it's a spectrum.
And yeah, it is.
Some of them have been really turned off when I say that. They're like, oh no, I'm absolutely. I'm like, you're a little liar.
They're probably doubting themselves. Yeah. It's their own insecurity. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Googling things and educating myself so that I don't burden all of my friends or the minority groups with questions. So I really like this analogy about bisexuality is like when somebody says that they like more than one colour, and pansexuality is like when someone says I like all the colours.
All the colours.
So you're not saying exactly that I like two colours, but I like more than one.
I think my understanding in pansexuality is one of the significant differences often talked about, and again, big generalisation, is that the gender is not front of mind. They can be termed as gender blind. So they see the whole person or the person, not the gender.
Mm.
So it's the love of people, to your point, or colours.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that was some intellectual stuff. My brain's zinging.
If we've confused you or enlightened you, text in on 0427 569 949 or slide into our DMs on Annie and Ando. Coming up, we have Plate of Origin, Team Vietnam, runner-up, Tan Trong.
Also known as the fruit nerd. Can't wait to ask your fruit questions. Get them in, guys.
Get them in.
6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
I'm super excited for this next guest because it's been a radical year for TV. Everyone's in lockdown. We're switching on, and one of the shows that's changing things up is Plate of Origin. All these competitors are from different countries serving up cuisines that are tied to their family, tied to their local roots, and we have on the line Tan Trong from the grand final cook-off between Team Greece and Team Vietnam. Tan and his teammate Duncan did a stellar job, but look, they had a perfect main, and I would like to focus on that because I love that pork. Mmm. Pork and what was it?
Bit of melon soup.
Okay, can't wait. Welcome, Tan.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well. Good. Thanks for calling in this morning. And, I want to say congratulations because there were so many teams competing in this and you made it all the way through to the grand final last night.
Thank you so much. Look, we are so blessed to get that far. All the contestants from all the cuisines are so capable of knocking each other out on their night, and we're just really blessed to get that far and represent our culture. And, unfortunately it wasn't our night, but look, we're very grateful and we're blessed. So I really appreciate all the support and kind words.
I don't want to rub it in, but I realised it was $100,000 that could have been won.
Hey,
how does that feel?
Not rubbing that in.
So let's talk about the menu. So you kicked it off with Moreton Bay Bug rice paper rolls, which I love a Moreton Bay. I'm torn on this. I love Moreton Bay Bugs, but I don't like rice paper rolls.
This is controversial.
I've been told that you don't like rice paper rolls. I think that it is, it's a really refreshing dish. It's a good palate starter and a good entree. We had a really nice dipping sauce and we really wanted to showcase Australian produce along with the Vietnamese flavours. So I think it was the right choice to start off for our grand final.
You mentioned dipping sauce. Gary Meehan went, you made him get all gooey with your dipping sauce. He loved it.
He did want to drink it. And I can make more for him whenever he wants.
Yes, make some of that cocktail with a bit of Moreton Bay Bug in it, perhaps. Ando has famously now described paper rolls as lawn clippings in a condom. And right before you came to do this interview, we played an ad for condoms. I mean, what are the chances? You're probably thinking, I regret taking on this interview now with this crazy nut. But we also want to talk about the pork belly and bitter melon because I can't believe Bitter Melon has made it to TV. I'm shocked because that is like one of my home dishes that my mum always makes as an entree. And Bitter Melon is controversial because it divides people, that flavour. What was it like? How did you choose that?
You know, it was an amazing opportunity to cook a dish that is so close to my heart. Bitter Melon is, you know, bitter melon soup is my mum's favourite dish.
It
resonates with me from when I was a kid. And, you know, it's an amazing story because I actually applied for MasterChef many years ago with this dish and I was declined.
They were not ready for the bitter melon.
No, they weren't ready for it. But, you know, with MasterChef this year, you know, there's so many amazing things with the diversity happening on TV. And, you know, I'm so glad to cook this dish. As you said, it's very polarizing. Bitter flavors aren't something that, you know, many people do like, but I think that it is coming into fashion. I mean, we all love bitter coffee. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of time before...
That's true. I live near the Vic Market, and I saw a man with two ginormous bags of bitter melon, and I had to try to take a photo of it for my sister. I'm like, look at this guy, he can't get enough of it. So I think it's trending for sure.
You've got a connection to the Vic Market, don't you, Tan?
That's right. Well, I'm a fruiterer, and I'm based in the Epping Market. I'm actually here right now just watching forklifts whiz past.
Oh, no way.
All the great... fruit and veg across.
You'll see me whiz past in about an hour.
You should catch up with Annie Louie for a cup of coffee. She rides her bike straight past the Vic Market after she finishes this radio show.
You know, I would love to do that, but we better stay clear with all the restrictions.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Exactly. Well, what do you get up to when you're not busy doing TV and all that? Because I hear that you are really passionate about fruit, as given, you know, you've seen the show where you're wearing the T-shirts and all different patterns, pineapples, watermelons. What's up with that?
You know, fruit's my life. It's not just my career, but it's also my passion. And I really love it when you have a really good fruit experience, like when you bite into a watermelon and it's not bland, it's really crystally and sugary, or when you have a good orange. Those kind of really ephemeral moments, I think, should happen more often.
A spiritual experience with an orange.
You go spiritual. I was thinking it was porn, nearly, like it's sex, like it's sensual. Sensual's the word, not porn, sorry. But there's something...
You can get sexual about fruit. That's all good. You know, I think pleasure has always been linked to food. You know, we eat for pleasure, not just as a sustenance. And that's what I want to bring to fruits and vegetables. I think, you know, we've been commoditized in a certain way, and we do eat with our eyes, you know, through aesthetics. But, you know, I want that, not old school mentality, but I want, you know, you to go to a fruiterer and for them to cut you a piece of mango and be like, try this, and then you try it. It's an amazing experience, and you buy a whole tray. That's the kind of thing that I love. You know, now it's not, I know it's more of a romantic idea, but, you know, I think fruiterers have a role to educate consumers about where their fruit and vegetables come from, but also, you know, to bring back that excitement and enthusiasm. And I really want to bring that to the industry. And that's why I wore the fruit tops. That's why my mates call me the fruit nerd, because I just love it so much.
We are talking to Tan Trong from Plate of Origin, runner-up, Team Vietnam. And you're really passionate about putting yourself forward as, you know, diversity and diverse talent as well. You know, what next with all of this?
I really want to showcase fruits and vegetables in a way that people haven't seen before. Not just tricks and, you know, hacks, but, you know, I think I've had a really privileged time. I used to work for Coles Supermarket. So, you know, I've seen from the supermarket end, from the wholesale end. I've been to farms here in Australia and overseas. And I really want to tell people that, you know, fruit's not just picked from the tree and then, you know, it magically appears on the shelf. You know, there's this whole supply chain of people that have, you know, touched the fruit and have made it, you know, appealing and fresh for consumers. And I really want to showcase that story. So, you know, whether that's through my Instagram or whether that's through, you know, potentially some more content in the future, I really want to tell that story, the untold story of fruit.
Oh, that's amazing. I love the quote, so many people have touched the fruit. I'm like, I don't know if I want it anymore.
Sanitized hands, of course. But what you mean is so much effort's gone into getting you that apple, that orange, that bit of melon that you're throwing down your throat. So enjoy it and savour it and notice it. Be mindful. It sounds like all you're eating is mindful eating, like mindfulness.
I think, that's really poignant, Ando. I think that's right. I you know, we often, when we eat food, not just fruit and veg, we kind of take it for granted. And I do hope that, you know, whilst we're in this COVID period, you know, food has become more of a central point within our lives, whether that's through cooking or whether that's through, you know, having more time at home or having more time to think and not have such a busy lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think mindful eating is important, not just for, you know, our minds, but for our bodies. And I think that, you know, if we're kind to our bodies through what we eat, we'll live a much more healthier life.
Oh, that's sure. a fantastic way to end. Thank you so much for spending a bit of your morning with us, Tahn, from Plate of Origin.
If people want to find out more or get more of you, where can they head?
Go to my Instagram page at Fruit Nerd.
Beautiful. Hooray. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
Cheers,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Ando and Annie. Cheers.
Up early with Annie and Ando on your Wednesday morning, which is Bi Pride Day. And good morning. Happy Bi celebration. Hannah Murphy.
Hello. Good morning. Happy Bi Visibility Day.
Oh, it's got
and
a
anything
few.
Else you want to Bi Celebration Day?
Bi Pride
Day.
There's
a lot of names. Yeah.
It has.
Just throw a few things together that sound really celebratory. You've nailed it.
I think so. Thank you. Because we were trying to look and we were like, which one is it? And we're like, it doesn't matter. It's all
labels, schmables. Yeah.
Exactly. We don't care, do we? You two sound fabulous this morning.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, full of beans. I don't know. We're coming off the back of two big shows. So today we're letting loose a little bit. There's no pressure.
It's great being in here with you this week because there's just
as
like,
she stuffs chips into her pockets.
And chips everywhere. I just love it. It's celebration. So we are doing some more celebration around Bi Visibility Day. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
We also have Steve Stephanopoulos.
Steve Stephanopoulos.
I always do that. There's a lot of F's in there. Yes, Mayor of Stonington.
Ooh.
He's joining us again. He's always a pleasure to talk to. And, of course, it is last man standing in Great Wens Debate.
What's the debate?
Okay, so the Wens Debate today is what would be worse, to never dance again, Team Dean, or to never sing again,
Never dance again.
Is that worse? Which one's worse?
No, I could do without it.
What would be worse?
Which would be worse? Sing. Oh, unreal. Excellent. I've got someone finally on my side.
My brain's still getting around it. So I'd love to sing.
Exactly.
And
so that
tune,
would be worth.
So.
Yes, you guys are on my team.
Yes,
I love
we are.
You so much because Dean's already preparing himself for a massive landslide. So. Oh.
But he's a good dancer. He's such the boogie boy. He was always there in the cages doing those special cage dancing at those dance parties. Waka, waka, waka.
I feel so ill about this because I practiced a TikTok dance for ages and made him do it. And he practiced for about half an hour. And he was much better at it than me.
He's got moves like Jagger.
So I think it would be worse never to be able to sing again.
Same.
Anyway, if you want to support Team Anna, I need all the help that you can get. 0427JOY949 on air at joy.org.au.
You're dancing as you're doing that. Don't do that. It's not helping your argument.
I've got a sore shoulder.
Oh, no. Do you need a rub?
Yes, thank you.
I'll go get my stick.
Okay, lovely.
I don't want to be involved
in
this.
Thanks, Anna Murphy.
Thanks, guys.
Get up with Annie and Ando only on Joy.
11 minutes to 7 on your Wednesday morning. Annie, I've got something I need to say to you. That last interview with the such passionate and intelligent and beautiful man, Tron Trong from Tantron.
You tried.
I thought if I say it fast, I'll pronounce it correctly. Tahn. He said barn with a T. Tahn.
Yes.
From the grand final of Plate of Origin. He mentioned his entree? No, his main. His pork
head. Yeah, the main.
Bit of melon.
Yes.
Let me show you a picture of it. What is a bit of melon?
Have you ever seen one of these before? It looks like a prickly, ribbed cucumber.
Not ribbed, actually. That's spiked.
Spiked. Bumpy.
A bumpy, spiked cucumber. But is it actually like the same size as a cucumber or is it
bigger,
larger?
Bigger, larger.
As big as a watermelon?
No. It's like a giant zucchini. Think of that. Sometimes you encounter a thick zucchini, it's like that. Mm. Really bitter. I'm kind of triggered looking at it.
Do you cook it or is it like a fruit?
You cook it. You can't eat it raw.
It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable. And it goes well with beef flavours, like a stir fry, where you've got like a saltiness and you've got the bitterness to cut through. But bitter melon soup, like a bitterness just everywhere. So I can't say I'm a huge fan of the soup, but there are ways to cook it that would be nice. So if you're interested, I owe you a dinner at my mum's place.
See... This is you know how honest I am with you around like Annie, your barbecue chicken's cold or Annie.
I didn't cook the chicken.
It's
still safe to eat.
Yeah, no, but
did you die?
But you know how I can be sometimes blunt and appear ungrateful.
Yeah, definitely. Just have a look at the video where I make the cinnamon twist for Ando and he spits it in a piece of paper and rolls it up without him even knowing that he was being mean.
It's not very nice. So you saying. I'll have to get my mum to cook it for you, sends shivers of fear through my body because there's moments in my life where you just can't be as direct. And that's like if your beautiful mother went to the effort to cook it for me, I would have to love it, whether I did or not.
That's so funny that you find a little Asian woman intimidating because you're scared of the judgment.
She's the mother of Annie Louie.
Oh, I know. God's gift to the human race.
No, but there is, like, there's some, you know, the first meal and when I met my now mother-in-law years ago, we weren't supposed to be eating together and Mr. Ando goes, oh, Mum said that we've got to stay for lunch and it was a Saturday lunch. So in an Italian house, Saturday lunches are normally in the kitchen table, not the dining table.
Oh, yes.
And she's made this, the house smells good of food. It's pasta with achugi, which is anchovy sauce on spaghetti. And he's looking at me going, do you eat anchovies?
I love anchovies.
I love... Not only did I devour this sauce and spaghetti that was so stunning, she said, would you like more? She's a feeder, as most European mothers are.
As you are too.
As I am. I go, yes, please. Two massive bowls of this stuff. I was her favourite in-law from that moment. Gender became irrelevant. Sexuality became irrelevant.
Food. How good's the power of food? If you want more of that, tune in every Tuesday when all we talk about is food, whether it's bad or good or whatnot. We might even, you know, this has inspired me, the weird fruit and veg thing. We might go into finger limes perhaps next time because that was an ingredient on the show recently and I've never seen this weird thing before. Like, what? They're like little blobs coming out of a tube.
I call them the caviar of the citrus family. So those little balls that you flick out of a finger lime are pure, like little lime juice capsules.
Oh, that sounds good.
Stunning with any seafood. So imagine the Moreton Bay bug. You take it out of the rice paper that
toss that in the bin.
Toss that in the mint aside and then you actually like barbecue grilled grilled your Moreton Bay bug and sprinkled some finger limes over the top, finger lime balls. Oh.
Are there any other bizarre fruit or veg that you think I don't know about?
I'm trying to think. It'd be my mother-in-law. She calls them different things.
The Italian names.
Yeah, but and Venetian dialects, so it's often...
Yeah. You know what I saw recently? Do you know a lemon is not natural? It's a version of another fruit bred. Oh, what's the name of it? It's like is it citron? Yeah, citron.
Citron.
So what happens is
they're great.
The pith was so thick and white and like the juice is like pathetically small, like the actual yellow bit. So you can compare the two so they're genetically related, but they bred it so that we wanted more of the inside and less of the pith and that's how we got a modern day lemon.
You're a morally, I don't know, astute or you let me just ask the question and see where it goes. What's your view? So they've over centuries or over decades, they've modified the citron into a lemon.
Oh, are you saying is the lemon wrong? The concept of a lemon?
No, the concept of modification through genetics and natural genetic breeding versus genetic modification done by laboratories, GMO stuff.
Well, I don't care if it benefits me.
It's a bit like roses. They're still
Where would I be without the lemon in my manuka and honey when my voice, you know, goes down the drain when I have to perform and all that? I've never lost my voice ever, though.
Lemon juice is very bad for your throat.
It kills the bacteria. That's a natural antibacterial.
Yes. Yeah, and can cut away the lining of your tum-tum.
Oh. well, that's good. Won't need to eat anymore if I didn't have a tum-tum.
You're up early with Dr. Annie Louie and Dr. Ando talking all things citrus and fruit. We've had a cracking show. Make sure you stay around for the Murphys. We're back with you tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're celebrating.
Always celebrating. Nurses.
Nurses. And why? When we say celebrating, we did tradies. I love doing tradies.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be related to any particular day of the year. Just we felt like it. So
shout out.
Well, we've got Nurse Georgie Carroll, comedian, joining us. She is blowing it up. Check out her viral videos if you can today.
And make sure you stay around for the Murphys.
Not a morning person. Catch the Annie and Ando podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.